Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Umarpreneur podcast. I'm so excited to bring to you today a very dear friend that I'm excited to talk to, Brother Ra'is Sayyid, who so graciously waited for me as I attended this podcast a little bit late. I have to put myself on blast. He was waiting for me for 10 minutes in the podcast recording room as we were about to record this, and it was completely my fault. I was in a team meeting and it was going a little bit over, and that just kind of goes to show his character, that he was, you know, completely okay with it and super forgiving. So JazakAllah khair, Ra'is, for doing that, by the way. I appreciate you, man. So Ra'is is the founder of Umazing, who actually, they are a Muslim-friendly service provider platform. So whether you're looking for weddings and events or legal advice or financial advice, or even looking for people to help you with health and beauty counseling, you're looking for tradesmen, whatever it is that you're looking for as a service provider, Umazing is going to be the platform to go, or you can help, or you can get the help that you need from Muslim service providers, inshallah. So we're going to talk more about what that is, what they do, what they offer. But Ra'is, I'm so excited to dive in, man. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the podcast.
Walaikum salam. Thank you for having me, brother.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you. Can you show us a little bit more about what Umazing does before we dive in your own words?
Definitely. I mean, Umazing is a combination of the words Ummah and amazing, and somehow we managed to get the domain for 99p. From what we're trying to do is we've got a platform that hosts a community of Muslim-friendly businesses and service providers. And the idea from this is for consumers, we're offering accessibility, we're offering choice, we're offering transparency. And what I mean from those perspectives are someone such as myself, I grew up in a non-Muslim area. There are a lot of Muslims that have grown up in demographics where the area is not very Muslim, to be honest, and the services therefore are not really encompassing of making it easy for us to practice our faith. So what we're trying to do is increase the accessibility, so no matter where you are in the UK and inshallah in the Western world, you are able to have access to those Muslim friendly service providers, you know, across all the sectors that you mentioned. But from a choice perspective, what we're also saying is there are areas in the UK and indeed the rest of the Western world where you've got high demographic populations of Muslims. And what we're saying is that's great, but as a Muslim consumer, you're only aware of what's available to you or known to you. So we're opening up the playing field to every single Muslim service provider. And we think that's a benefit for consumers. From
Amazing.
A transparency point of view, what we're also doing is we're providing a sort of self-powered review system. That's an honest review system powered by Muslims and perfect for Muslims, because we know when you go on Google, when you're typing for certain things, it's not really going to hit the mark on exactly what we're looking for. So for example, if you go to on holiday, is it Muslim friendly, you know, or are people really focusing, the rest of the, you know, 7 billion people in the world focusing on something else? And that's what we're trying to bridge the gap with there for consumers. And for businesses, you know, for us, it's quite simple. Is we've got such a large growing population, whether it just be in the UK, but globally. I think I read something that I think it might be by 2050 or 2030. You know, the Muslim religion is going to account for up to 25% of the population globally. Now, if that's true, you've got to ask yourself, well, what have we set up as a community to make lives easier for us, no matter where we are? And we want to open up accessibility for Muslim-friendly service providers to actually give the services to the consumers that we know are growing. So for us, it's marrying the two. And for us, every pound spent, every transaction, every interaction, and every relationship on Umazing.com, inshallah, we try to say that we can uplift our ummah with every click.
Amazing, mashallah. So before we dive in, and I'm not saying that as a, you know, what's it called? Like, if I find it amazing, there's a word for that. What do you call it? There's a, man, it's escaping me. Anyways, I'm going to come back to it. A pun. There you go. A pun. I'm not saying that as a pun. I actually mean it. Like, that's an amazing initiative, mashallah, which I guess that's why you named it that way. But before we dive into it a little bit deeper, I want to know about you, Ra'is. And this is why I do this podcast, is because I like to get an inside view about the entrepreneur behind the business, so that the entrepreneurs listening to this podcast can better understand what it took to build this, the challenges faced along the way, what you had to learn, what you had to overcome. So before we talk about that journey, can you tell me more about yourself and what even inspired you to build your own business? What were you doing at the time? And, you know, when was it that you got the idea for this? And what made you decide that, you know what, this is an idea worth pursuing?
Great first question. And I think I'll preface the question from anyone's perspective that's listening, that I am not a techie. I'm not someone who's good at tech or anything like that, just had an idea. So for me, I come from a mixed race family. My mother is Ariba, she's English and Caribbean, and my dad is Indian. And I grew up in, as I mentioned, a very non-Muslim area, predominantly Jewish area, actually. And one thing about the Jewish community is they share business within their community. I don't know if it's the same over the pond, but certainly where we are, that's very much the case. And personally, it's admirable, you know, the way they can do their business that way, because every pound spent, you know, it benefits their community. What happened was, if you fast forward the sort of years where I had to travel the extra hour, the extra 45 minutes to go to Jummah, to go to find halal meat and all the rest of it, for me, that was normal. I just thought it was long, but it was normal, right? And then I go to University of Leicester. And I don't know if you've ever been to Leicester or even been to the UK, but if you've ever been to Leicester or anyone listening, it is a culture shock compared to what I was used to. I mean, mashallah, you've got Muslims everywhere, but not just Muslims. You've got a really, really mixed community. And it's not just the Muslims are offering Muslim-friendly services. What's brilliant, it's the non-Muslims offering it. So for me, I spent 3 years studying economics at Uni of Leicester. Did I learn anything that's actually transferable? No is the answer to that. But I met some fantastic people. And it was only then at Leicester, or Uni of Leicester, that I figured, you know, this should have been the case for me growing up. It can be the case for others growing up. And if there's a way in which I can bring those service providers that I know about, that I'm raving about when I've gone back home, surely there's going to be a benefit for other Muslims. So what I did was I set up the domain, grabbed that straight away, set up the company, brought in my best friend and now my co-founder Ismail. And the two of us just got together in terms of creating what we originally had was a marketplace. But what we quickly found was you can set up and teach yourself everything on YouTube, which will take hours just to, you know, when you're trying to be a perfectionist and trying to make the website look great on like WordPress of all things. You know, it's great to get a minimum viable product out and to try and see if it works and get that product market fit. But it took ages. So eventually I learned very, very early on, and a really good lesson for me was you can't do everything by yourself. I arrogantly thought I could. And once I learned that, I brought on and paid for people that were going to be able to do the job in half the time much better. And we managed to get what is now amazing.shop, which is essentially a Muslim-friendly Amazon. Right. It just what the idea behind that was brand building, try and see if there's some product market fit. Alhamdulillah, we launched that in April 2021. And once we did launch that in April 21, we were very lucky. Islam Channel picked it up. That really ramped up our unique users. And from there, you know, we went from 300 providers in about, I think, 2 months, and then over 1,000 products in about 6 months. You got to bear in mind, we were doing this part time. I mean, literally, I was doing this just when I had time. So what I really liked about it was communicating with Muslim business owners that had a really cool idea about what they wanted to do. But what we essentially found was a lot of them were side hustles. And whilst we had a lot of volume going on in quick succession, it wasn't really a business model. And for me, you know, to give a little bit more onto your question as well about me personally, I come from a family business. It's a water treatment business. And don't ask me how a family got involved with that. But regardless, the sort of skills that I've picked up are so much more than my age mates in the sense of the experience I've been exposed to, the sorts of conversations I've had to have, the sort of decisions I've had to make. So it gave me the confidence to say, you know what, I think I can go out and do this. Might not happen straight away because I know I don't expect it to. I know what it should look like. But I need to put some more time and effort into this, and I need to bring on more people. So, alhamdulillah, I managed to get in contact with some people from back at university that were way smarter than me in terms of the technology side of things and the development side of things. And what happened was I essentially brought them on sort of an invoice basis. They would do some work, they would invoice me. I was using all of my savings, and I was living with my family at the time, so didn't have many outgoings. They were pretty kind to me on that sort of side. And eventually it goes to a point where I've literally run out of money, but you can see the platform is kind of getting to where we want it to be. And before I jump too far ahead as well, one thing I should note is we had identified as well from people that were reaching out to us that service-based businesses were the ones that were being missed out because we had created an Amazon, so a product-based marketplace. And what we had decided was most of those service-based businesses, they were full-time, they were or what in the UK is known as companies house registered businesses. They were serious, you know, about what they were doing. It wasn't something done on the side. And that's not to discount the efforts of the other businesses, but it certainly was important that we could build a business model around that. So we started building towards service-based businesses. And I think that's when it really clicked. So I got those developers on board. I then ran out of money. And I'll be honest, I was pacing backwards and forwards because I could see something beautiful being made. And you know, when it's your baby, you've been there. I think you've built up and sold businesses. So you know what it's like. But for anyone who's got their own idea that's listening as well, you know, when you do have your own idea, it's your baby. So when you see it getting developed from skills that you don't even have, you really, really want to take it to the next level. But when money is a constraint, it's quite difficult. So you've got to ask yourself, well, what can I do? So I made dua. I said, look, if there's a way, I'll raise money, I'll make it happen. I'll find money, I'll make it happen. Kid you not, you know, subhanAllah, by 2 days later, I get a message from my guys who are now part of the core team. But the reason they are is they sent me a message saying, look, Reese, we see what you're doing. We can see the sort of brand and what we're trying to achieve here. And what we don't believe is that we can give you as much value as we want to, and we don't want to keep taking an invoice. Would you consider us coming on the team for equity? I hadn't even thought of that. I didn't even think, because personally, in my experience, I was almost embarrassed to ask. I don't know why. When I look back, I just don't know why. Speaking to other founders, you know, it's the first thing that people ask when you see skillful people and you want them on your team. So we hashed it out. We got to an equity base we were happy with. And from there, alhamdulillah, the vision has flown. We've got to a point where we were able to launch in November 2022. And I'm no longer being invoiced for it. We've got a team that has a vision that is able to advise. But at the time of doing it, I went from building that website from YouTube, spending hours on aligning text because I didn't know how to getting people that were equally passionate. And that's very difficult. I don't know if many teams can get that, but finding people that are equally passionate about what you want to do and then executing it and applying it, it's rare. And alhamdulillah, I think I've been blessed with that. So that's where we are today. And that's, for me, the journey of how we've got there.
Yeah, subhanAllah. And a lot of things that you touched upon, I want to dive deeper into. But as you were building the business in the initial stages, were you still working at the time, or were you focusing full-time on trying to build the business?
Yeah, it's a really good question again. And I can give even more personal information on this. So I don't know if there are many founders. I'm sure there are. But I think podcasts like this are really helpful to figure it out. So I was working full-time. And just to give you an idea, for anyone who's listening, or if you've ever worked in a family-run business, it is not 9 to 5. It's certainly not 9 to 5. It's your livelihood. You know, I work to ensure that the rest of my family have dinner on the table, as does the rest of my family. You know, we're just equally as accountable. So I can't let my foot off the gas with what I'm doing at work, but I'm really passionate about what I'm trying to do with Amazing. So it's a balancing act that at the time I was able to do. So what I would do is I would start work, you know, I'd get up at like 5 a.m. and I'd pray Fajr if Fajr was around that time. But I wouldn't go back to sleep. I'd say, right, let's get a little bit done on Amazing. Let's find some time to go for a walk. Because for me, silence works. When there's silence, get your brain going. You tend to find answers when there's silence. So give myself half an hour of that. And that's not necessarily meditation. That's just me walking around the streets sort of thing. But it helped. So then I would get into a flow where I could separate my thoughts out and work on Amazing in the morning, go and do my shift from 8:30 to about 6:30 at the family business, and then get home, quickly eat, then start again till about 12 in the morning sort of thing. But when you've got that drive, you almost don't feel the fatigue. But I think that tank only works at the beginning. So it begins to deplete. And it got harder because I'm also newly married. So one thing I don't think many founders talk about as well is how important, if they are married and they have a partner, or you know, even someone that they're living with that supports them to be able to do it, that's a major win. Because it's not easy. You cannot just switch off. You can't just allocate time. It doesn't work that way when it's a startup, when it's a business you're passionate about. You're always thinking about it. But if your other half is aware of that and they're accommodating for that, that really can allow it to fly. And especially when you're Muslim, now we're encouraged to get married, we're encouraged to start families. So it is a balancing act, trying to make it happen, trying to make sure you have time. And it's the most important thing for family, but also grow that business to where you want to get it to. So not only was I working at the same time, and still am to a certain degree today, but also I was juggling that family time, which as a newlywed, I don't know if you've ever been there, I'm sure you have.
Yes, definitely.
It's tricky as hell.
It's intense, 100%. And what you said is key, is having that partner that is supportive, right? That understands what you're trying to achieve and then is able to kind of accommodate, I think is definitely the key. And from what you're mentioning, a lot of people kind of always see it as I'm either all in or I'm not doing anything. And a lot of people I speak to as well. I mean, sometimes there's recently like a student that I've been coaching, and he keeps like messaging me being like, okay, like, am I ready to quit my job? And I'm like, look, we haven't even like validated the business yet. Like we're still in like the validation stage. Let's go through that at the minimum so that you have a few clients and you like, we've validated the business. We've gotten, you know, paying clients for the service that we're providing. And then at that point we can start to like transition out of your job. But, you know, it's kind of like for a lot of people, it's kind of like, I'm either all in here, I'm all in there. And as an entrepreneur, you have to master the art of juggling like multiple balls at once, right? Like having the ability to really pour your energy into multiple things at once, because business itself is never going to be kind of like a single-minded endeavor. We're just going to go do one thing and you can focus on that one thing. And I wish it was. Trust me, I wish it was. Like there, and I'm sure you understand. I mean, I cherish my moments of deep work more than anything else, right? Especially as the business grows and now I have a team and it's like, I have to train the team, I have to manage the team, we have to have the team huddles, I have to make sure the team is performing. Because part of your job as a leader is to make sure your team is performing as well. And initially, through my like initial days as an entrepreneur, I used to see that as a waste of time. I used to be like, man, I'm like on this meeting instead of doing work that I know I could be doing. But then as you grow, you start to realize, okay, me giving my team what they need to perform is going to exponentially speed up our growth rate. And so you have to kind of approach things from that perspective. But without going too deep into this, for you, you've been working with the team. You worked with the team from the start, which is interesting because for a lot of people, they start off as solopreneurs. What have you learned through that process of working with the team? And how have you, are there any realizations that you've come to balance working with the team, making them efficient, making them perform, as well as balance your own workload in the business?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I'm certainly not a master of it yet. I'm still working on it, but I'll let you know on the journey so far. So I started off by myself, but very quickly I realized that I couldn't do it by myself. So I brought on Ismail, who's my co-founder. And what I quickly realized was I have a decent amount of experience because the family business has propelled me. It's almost like being what they say, baptized in fire. I haven't had the normal introduction into corporate and you worked your way up over the years. It's just been absolutely hit the ground running straight away. So the way my mind works is a lot faster than the average person I'm working with, my age mates. One of the hardest things I've had to come across is finding someone as passionate as I am, which I know will never happen, right? It's my baby, right? But finding someone who has the right level of passion, has common sense is an interesting one. Apparently, it's not as easy to find as often, but also is smarter than you. You know, when you find people that are smarter than you, it will move forward. And for me, that's what I really heavily rely on, is that the people I bring in have a level of expertise that I just don't have. The one thing I know I can do as someone who's managing the team or steering the vision is glue that team together to make sure that they work cohesively, because you could have a lot of lone wolves within a team. So often when you get salespeople, you know, I come from sales as well, often you get some lone wolves that really want to hit their targets by themselves, but you know, there's quarterly bonuses for your team, so you've got to understand how to work together. So I brought that sort of mindset with us, and because we're lean, you know, there's 6 core team members, alhamdulillah, we're growing as of even just this month by 3 people, we've now got to understand that there are certain people that will work together whose work is contingent on the next person. And when you're working remotely on top of that as well, things get really, really difficult. So sending the average email, one thing I have realized is communication is key. You know, the way someone writes an email come across in a different way to the way that they meant it. And often video calls are really, really important. But what I have come to find is if you've got the right level of communication on the team, the right level of commitment on the team, and everyone is aware of the vision, so long as you've got everyone on that boat who's ready to go to that destination, you as the founder, as the entrepreneur, need to be the right one to steer that boat so they're willing to follow you to that destination. And for me, alhamdulillah, I think I've managed to crack it. It's just a matter of ensuring that you keep at that level day by day. As Jeff Bezos says, I do agree with it. Every day is the first day at work, right? But I have that same level of enthusiasm every single day. And for me, that's what I've tried to get into the team's head. I do really believe they have a similar level of passion. So long as that continues to be the case, I think we'll have some good growth, inshallah.
Inshallah. Definitely, man. So with a platform like yours, when we're talking about Umazing and platforms in general, I mean, we've been working in the background on something different completely, but also a software platform, which is different from essentially providing a service. Because with Umarpreneur, the first thing that we launched with was our coaching program.
Sure.
And providing a coaching program is really straightforward. It's like, okay, here's like how much we're going to charge for it. Here's what we're going to offer within the program. And, you know, this is kind of like the margins that we're operating within. Everything is pretty clear cut. And it's the profit formula is very simple. We've been recently working over the last year and a half on developing a software platform, and there's so many unknowns within the software world that are completely different from offering a service. And I'm curious for you, building a platform like this, if you don't mind sharing, number one, did you already have clarity on what your profit formula was going to be? Or is that something that you said we're going to figure out down the line?
Yeah, really good question. Essentially, it's like the business model, right? So what I think really helped us, and I touched on it earlier, was the fact that we launched a Amazon-style marketplace to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest learning curve, because I think we weren't unique. There were others out there trying to do the same thing. And more power to them, because the more we can get out to our community, the better. What I realized when I was doing my market research, because obviously you don't just plunge yourself straight into the first idea you have, I thought about it before doing it. And when I had a look at the other providers, was they were all doing commission-based structures.
Right.
And at first I thought, okay, if everyone's doing it, must be doing pretty decent. But, you know, from my work at my family business, I do a lot on the finance side as well. And what I realized was I need to check what their turnover is. I can see their accounts, basically, so I can have a look. When I was looking at it, it didn't stack up. You know, I'm sure it worked for them, but it didn't stack up for me. I felt that if you're gonna build something, it's got to be scalable and it's got to be game changing. There's no point building something that's going to be mediocre or it's not going to really grow into, you know, something that's going to have the impact on the community that we need it to have. Right. So. For me, commission was never going to work. That was number one. Commission was never going to work. So we started with free, just to see if we build, will the people come? And the answer was yes. So first box was ticked. Then what we realized was, as someone who works in a family business, who signs off most of the subscriptions that we have, that a lot of the costs, so long as they offer a value, are pretty nominal. Like when they're coming out as a direct debit or whatever, I'm not really thinking about it. I'm just signing it off. It's done. So what we figured out was if we can find a subscription model that works, provides value, businesses that are turning over enough, so long as they fall into our target market, they're not going to think twice about it because they're just going to come onto our monthly recurring revenue. So what we essentially ended up building was almost a bit of a strange model. So we've got a freemium model. And you can have subscriptions. And the subscriptions on amazing.com will allow you to have various different values. So you can go for free, and we will not hinder you for going on for free. However, if you want to get onto more locations, you want to use promotion credits to go to the top, you can pay £25, for example. But what we did realize before we built amazing.com as a service directory was a lot of businesses were coming to us for digital marketing. Very strangely, we don't know why. But originally, we were turning them down. And we said, look, that's not for us. We're not really interested. But what I realized was I was turning down money. So I got Ismail, who's got a master's in marketing, and he's worked in agency before. So I said, look, build a community of marketeers that we know come from our community, will understand working with Muslim-friendly businesses. Mm-hmm. And if they, given this economic crisis, want to earn extra, allow them to be part of our network so we can basically offload work to them. So what we essentially did was took on marketing work at a discounted per hour rate because we could. The marketeer was happy because they were earning more. We were account managing, so earning a little bit. And the customer was extremely happy because they didn't have to stress about hiring in-house. So the latter packages are what's providing a majority of our revenue, whilst the subscriptions on the beginning side of things are providing the monthly recurring revenue quite nicely. So mm-hmm. once we built that out, we were quite easily able to replicate it and grow it. And alhamdulillah, that's what's allowed us to hit profit making straight away.
Okay, amazing, mashallah. Thank you for sharing that. That's some valuable advice, I think, for any like SaaS owner or SaaS builder right now going through that. In terms of your platform right now, and really kind of when we talk about the unique value proposition. So with Umazing, when we're looking at this platform, I know I'm asking you a lot of business questions, but this is what this podcast is about. So when you look at Umazing as a platform and you look at the unique value proposition, so of course, really the key here and the message behind it all, from my understanding, is that Muslims have a place where they can go and they can find other Muslim service providers that share the same values and the same faith, right? Is that correct so far?
Yeah, I'd say on that side is predominantly what we're looking at, but also Muslim-friendly. Because even from Leicester, a lot of non-Muslims are providing and going that extra mile as well.
Amazing. So this is what you're offering as a service. Now, I have a question for you. There was something else in mind, but I have this question for you that I'm excited to ask. Because it's a topic that came up in my mind recently. It's a topic that I actually discussed about with my team. Because one thing we have noticed, and I'm sure you've heard of this as well, and maybe you've seen it in the Muslim community, is sometimes Muslims will be like, oh, this is another Muslim business? Great. Let me see if I can get a better price on this thing, you know, or let me see if I can get, you know, the brotherly discount, quote unquote. So how, I don't know your personal opinion, put the platform aside. I mean, one thing that I believe personally is that we should definitely be paying more if it's a Muslim, because we should be supporting each other. And like, that's how we grow as an ummah. But I want to know for you, is that something that you've experienced? Is that something that you've seen? And with this platform as well, is that a bias that service providers that you've had to deal with and onboard have mentioned? And have you had to address that in any way? I'm very curious.
That's really interesting, because I started smiling before you even asked.
Okay.
Because I knew the question was coming. And you're not the first person to ask it. I mean, it's a valid question. It's a really unfortunate thought that we have that in our head.
100% agree.
But, you know, that thought isn't there for no reason. So personally speaking, let's talk utopia. Let's say if we had a magic wand, what would we want it to look like? And then we'll address the reality and then where we want to be. So the magic wand scenario suggests that, as you quite rightly said, if we've got, let's say, even if it's just a friend, your friend opens up a business, are you going to ask them for a discount?
Right.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't really, because it's their business. Really, you should want to pay them more. So agreed. So long as the service provider provides a service that is of high value, you should pay for that service. And you shouldn't expect a discount just because you're Muslim. That shouldn't be the case. However, it is the case in certain instances. And that's not to say it's a problem with our community. It's a problem with individual mindsets within our community. Mm-hmm. And personally, the way we've set up is with that in mind. So we've done two things to really counteract that or just address it. So we haven't made the directory transactional. So the transactions don't take place on the directory itself. What we do is we push through the inquiry to the business directly, and the business can then address the customer as they wish to. If that then takes place, that is up for the business to discuss with the customer accordingly. Right. And yes, I have had that said to me to say, look, you know, these guys are, they're basically, they're just having a bit of a laugh here. They're treating it as a joke. They want a discount for nothing just because they're Muslim. That's not how it should work. So what we did introduce, and we're seeing it's working, and if I say it out loud, they might know I've done it now, but basically we've created something called the amazing offer. And the amazing offer, let's say I mean, you're the person on amazing.com, right? Umapreneur with your, I don't know, business strategizing and mentorship program. And what we would say to you, Abby, is we would say, what is your amazing offer? Now, what we're technically asking you is, what are you prepared to offer the Ummah, the community that we're asking? That will hopefully prevent a question from the consumer before you've offered it to say, what can I have for free? So you might say, you know, free 10-minute consultation. That's what we'll allow to offer for free. You know, from our perspective, that's the best we can do. And what we have realized with our community is, if we ever want to get to the heights of the Ummah where we believe it should be, I mean, when we hear the word Ummah, it's always regarding charity or how we need to do better. We need to change that narrative, and that's an education piece. We need to get it to the point of, you know, our, you know, that community, that Muslim community, they're very, very well off. They do fantastic business together, the same way they talk about other communities. We are massive in number. We are very, very big. But why we haven't achieved those heights yet is another story. And I think we've hit the nail on the head as to one of the reasons why. So it's going to take a while to get there. But I would like to think that the people that do think like that are a minority out of the God knows how many million, I think it's approaching 4.1 million in the UK, that are active and are consumers. And, you know, our community is extremely entrepreneurial. So I'd like to think that we could get to those heights eventually. And something like amazing.com is helping us bridge that gap.
Why do you think it is important for us to actively seek out Muslim providers versus just kind of blindly putting our money towards any business that is, you know, conveniently located beside our home, for example?
That's another really good question. I think there's a couple of elements to it as well. So from an ideal or an idealistic perspective, and people might say this is idealistic, but this is where we should really aim as a community, is when we as a community are stronger, we are better represented, right? And right now, if you have a look at where we are in the news or wherever we get, when we do decide to get representation on TV, it's not brilliant, right? So if we don't change the narrative from within and become people that are getting us to the higher up statuses, then we cannot make those changes. So that we can never expect that to change, right? So it might start from the bottom of you spending your pound with me, but by spending your pound with me, that goes up to the up the chain. And if that goes up the chain, we end up doing better and better and better. Now, if the Ummah starts doing better, that's a great place to be, because inshallah, we can have those positive impacts that we would like. But from another angle, we've also got a situation where we are in a climate where we do not know where our pound is going or who is supporting our pound. I don't want to get too political. I think everyone knows on this podcast what I'm alluding to. So what we need to be careful of these days is, when we do spend our pound, where is that money going? Is it definitely good for our deen? Is it definitely good for our hereafter? And if that is the case, then we can very, very conclusively say that I've done my best. You know, it definitely says that I've tried my best to make sure I spend my pound in the right place. It's your hard-earned pound. You need to make sure you spend it well. If you don't care where you spend it, you're probably not the right person to shop on amazing.com. But our deen is so strongly ingrained in what we do, right? Our Islam is strongly ingrained in what we do. It guides a lot of decisions we make. And personally, by setting up a platform like amazing.com, we really can help ensure those decisions are a lot better made and easier made.
Right. Definitely. I appreciate you sharing that, man. And I completely wholeheartedly agree with you. And I think that's the mission that we're trying to achieve with Umapreneur as well, is when we have more entrepreneurs, when we have more business people that are building these amazing businesses, we're starting to actually have more of a say and an opinion. And we're starting to see that shift slightly happening. Alhamdulillah, which I'm very optimistic about. And so it's nice to see, and it's, especially through the podcast, I have like the opportunity and the privilege to be able to actually interact with so many of these amazing entrepreneurs, including yourself, who are building these platforms. And that's a great pleasure to me to be able to witness it firsthand and see like everything that's happening. It's really inspirational, mashallah. One thing that I do want to ask you is, well, actually there's going to be two questions, but one of them is going to be right now. Tell me about where you ultimately want to see Amazing be, you know, 5 years from now. What's kind of the long-term plan for this platform? And as well, side note to that, is there an app that we can download on our phones? I'm curious.
Really good question. And I'll get to the side note.
Cool.
So where we want to be in 5 years, I don't even think it's 5 years, really. We want to ensure that we get there in a number of years. Sooner is where our preference is, where I indicate that, inshallah. But we want to be more than a service directory. You know, we really want to change the culture so that when a business or a business owner or someone thinking about starting a business is even having that thought or looking to take it to the next level, they think, I need to become amazing. That's the standard they need to get to. I don't know what you guys have in Canada, but we've got, like, you know, the Just Eat, the TripAdvisor, the stickers that go on the front of the shop windows. We want to have that amazing logo there. So, you know, as a consumer, it's trusted and it's verified. And as a business, you are supported. That's where we want to be. And we want to be at a point where we work with like-minded individuals, businesses, such as Umapreneur, that share that vision to take the Muslim population to the next level and really uplift the Ummah. That's where we want to be. And it doesn't just end at being a directory. It starts at being a directory and making the decision for consumers a lot easier. And on the topic of making decisions for consumers a lot easier, we are currently working on developing an app. At the moment, you can reach Amazing on amazing.com. But the app is coming, inshallah, end of 2023.
That's 2023. Amazing, mashallah. Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. So amazing.com, UMMAZING.com. Go ahead and check it out, guys. That's, and we'll make sure to drop the link in the description and the episode notes. No matter where you're listening or where you're watching, you'll find the link in the description, inshallah. Rais, to wrap up this episode, one question that I do want to ask you is there any piece of advice that you would give to the entrepreneurs listening to this? You know, now that you've been working on this for the last 3 years, is there one big idea right now that you have in your mind, one big realization that you've come to that you feel like this is something that would have helped me out if I knew it in the initial stages?
Definitely. I think, and it's going to sound really corny, it's I don't want to take Nike's slogan here, but it's don't have any fear. This is the longest version of Nike's slogan here. Don't have any fear. Just if you've got the idea, go ahead and do it, because I've had so many people come to me and say, I was thinking of the same idea, I was going to do it. And great, good for you. You were ahead of the curve, but you've got to do it to make the difference.
Exactly.
So many people will come up with an idea or a reason why they can't. I'm working full time. So was I. I've just got married. I'm really tired. So was I. You know, there are so many different reasons you can't do something. But the reason people make a difference, and the reason there's only a few of them, and we see them on TV and we see them do well, is because they get rid of those barriers. So if you've got an idea, keep good people around you, get their response on it. And if it's a good response, try and do something that is cost effective to get the idea out there, find some validation and product market fit. And if you can find that, then start having some serious conversations about taking it to the next level.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Rais, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast, brother. This was an absolute pleasure. And again, apologies for joining this room late. I'm putting myself on blast publicly. That's how bad I feel. I'm really sorry, man. But you were gracious to you know, be so kind to do it anyway. So thank you for that. Guys, please check out Amazing, UMMAZING.com. Go ahead and check it out. Go ahead and support Rais. And go and really support the Ummah in general, okay? So if we're going to grow, if we are going to really thrive as an Ummah, for all of you that are listening to this, they're like, oh, the Ummah should be this and it should be there. And, you know, you sit down with your uncles and aunts and they sip tea and they talk about how the Ummah should be in a better place and all the problems. Maybe instead of trying to talk about the problems, you can be part of the solution. And being part of the solution is going and actually supporting other Muslims that are building businesses, that are trying to make a living for themselves, for their families, and make changes in their community. And it starts with going on amazing.com and going and finding that provider near you so that you can go and support a Muslim and hopefully support the Ummah in general. Rais, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you, brother. Jazakallah khair for that.
Jazakallah, bro. I really appreciate it, honestly. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. It's my pleasure, man. And hopefully we'll get to do this again soon. Thank you all for listening and we'll see you next episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.